listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents In the Crowd, a reflection for Holy Week by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, April 9, 2017.
In the second half of the service, we move from Palm Sunday to the story of the Passion. The contrast between those two, between the joy of Palm Sunday and the sorrow of the Passion, is breathtaking. We move from confident counter-protest to victim of state violence in one short week. Many of us will gather on Thursday to commemorate and to touch and experience Jesus' last meal with his friends, to hear the wisdom with which he left them. Others may not be able to be here, or perhaps would just like to move through this week, focusing your heart and spirit on the journey not just into Jerusalem, but to Gethsemane, to Pilate's courtyard, to Golgotha and the tomb. Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem, a city whose two natures were at war, the city of God, the fallible human city, and he is surrounded by double-natured human beings, made in God's image, yet painfully susceptible to the lures of power and fear, prone to fall in line behind the voice of the crowd. And one by one, Jesus is failed by those around him. The religious leadership have conspired against him. Those leaders who walk a careful tightrope between the power of Rome above them and the people beneath them. They have decided that Jesus' revolutionary ways might just bring down the iron fist of Rome against them all. And so they want to stop him. Judas has arranged to betray him for 30 pieces of silver, about as much as a day laborer would make in a month. Who knows why? After celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus retreats to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he takes Peter, James, and John with him farther and deeper into the garden. They cannot even keep their eyes open. And into the garden, the crowds arrive with swords and clubs, a far cry from the cloaks and palm branches of a week before. One disciple dismisses Jesus' teaching of peace, and instead he meets violence with violence, cutting off the ear of the slave of the high priest. While Jesus was taken to the house of the high priest, Peter followed into the courtyard. And just as Jesus had predicted, fear overtook him, and he denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was. In the court of the high priest, all of the religious leaders, who purportedly desire to do God's will, try to get witnesses to lie about Jesus. Most refuse, but the two who come forward are enough to turn the tide. Soon, Jesus is convicted of blasphemy. And it is here that we pick up the story as we look ahead to the rest of Holy Week. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After the resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. May the same God who brought Jesus from the tomb keep hold of us as we encounter Holy Week anew this year. May the Living One, the great breath, breathe in us and through us, grounding us in love and trust. Amen.
Listen, listen, listen.